So today I'm going to be talking about neighborhood poverty and preventable hospitalization rates for New York City residents from 2008 to 2012. So similar to what our previous presenter did, but really focusing on a New York City urban population. I have no financial disclosures to disclose. I'd like to acknowledge my New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene colleagues, my co-authors Mary Ellen Tria, Caroline Heindrichs and Tanya Shaw, and my other colleagues with the Health Department. So ambulatory care sensitive conditions are used to identify hospitalizations that could have potentially been prevented with quality outpatient care. Rates may vary depending on access to primary care, care-seeking behaviors, and quality of care. They're also a good measure of health system access and efficiency. So higher rates identify areas where potential improvements in the healthcare system can be made to improve health outcomes and cost. In 2011, the New York City Health Department adopted neighborhood-level poverty as a standard measure, socioeconomic status measure for public health analyses. Neighborhood-level poverty is defined as the percent of a population in an area with a household income below the federal poverty threshold. Its purpose is to characterize the socioeconomic conditions of an area, but may also be used as a proxy measure for individual socioeconomic status when individual level data are not available. So why look at neighborhood level poverty and preventable hospitalizations? We know that health disparities between higher and lower poverty neighborhoods is often as great as or greater than among racial ethnic groups. We could also look at them to identify health disparities to better target resources and interventions. So now I'm going to walk you through our methods. We use the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality Prevention Quality Indicators to identify individual indicators, which were grouped into the following composites. The overall composite, which are admissions for any of the following: diabetes, circulatory, respiratory, and acute conditions. This table is showing you our data sources and measures. We use the New York State Department of Health's Statewide Planning and Research Cooperative System, also known as SPARCS, to obtain inpatient hospitalizations. So they're not per patient, so if a person is admitted multiple times, the hospitalization will be counted each time. And all hospitalizations in New York State are reported through SPARCS, so they are event data and not of a sample, so the whole universe of hospitalizations in New York State. The prevention quality indicator specifications were applied to create the ACS composites using SPARCS. And then our New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene's Bureau of Epidemiology Services created New York City intercensal estimates modified from the U.S. Census Bureau. So those estimates were used for every year to calculate New York City residents 18 years and over. Using the American Community Survey zip code five-year file, neighborhood-level poverty was categorized into four fairly equal-sized groups. These are the recommendations that the Health Department has made to classify the different groups. So low neighborhood poverty is defined as 10% of the population in the zip code with a household income below 100% of the federal poverty level. Medium is 10 to less than 20% of the population, high 20 to less than 30%, and then very high 30% or greater. So to calculate the ambulatory care sensitive hospitalization rates, we took the number of prevention quality inpatient hospitalizations divided by New York City residents 18 years and over, and for each neighborhood level poverty group, so for each of those four groups. Neighborhood level poverty groups were assigned based on the zip code of residence when the person was hospitalized. The population was then summed by zip code to create population estimates by poverty group, and the rates were age-adjusted to the U.S. 2000 standard population per 100,000 adults. So now I'll walk you through our results. This slide is showing ambulatory care sensitive hospitalization rates by neighborhood-level poverty from 2008 to 2012 per 100,000 adults. So you can see the blue dashed line is showing the overall rate, and then we could see that people living in high poverty and very high poverty neighborhoods have higher rates compared with the overall and the other groups. So rates for people living in very high poverty and high poverty are higher, but overall, all of them are decreasing over time. But the disparity between the groups is not narrowing considerably. You could still see that seems pretty stable, even though there are declines over time. And these findings are similar for all the other composites, so I'll walk you through those as well. This slide is showing ambulatory care sensitive hospitalization rates for diabetes by neighborhood level poverty. Again, we see the rates are higher for those living in very high poverty and high poverty neighborhoods, and that the differences between the poverty groups are fairly stable. And the decrease for very high neighborhood poverty groups is steeper than the other groups, you can see that. And it's causing the disparity gap to narrow slightly, but we're still seeing consistent disparities over time. Again, we see a similar trend when we look at ambulatory care sensitive hospitalization rates for respiratory conditions. The very high and high poverty groups have higher rates, and the decreases across poverty groups are smaller.
Before you go forward, I just want to be really clear because the labeling is a little confusing to me. The group at the top and the group at the bottom, which one has?
So the very high poverty means that 30% or greater of the population living in that zip code has a household income.
There's a lot of people in poverty.
Right. And so you're using the federal poverty threshold, and so you're saying 30% or greater of those people living in that area are in high poverty. So that's the classification.
And low poverty means
less than 10%.
Very small numbers of people in that
zip code have
federal
poverty threshold, correct?
Okay, thank you.
No, I know it's hard because you're saying low poverty, but it's a high poverty neighborhood, so it gets a little confusing. But these are the classifications that our agency has put forward in terms of how to analyze our data.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure if anybody else was a little confused.
No, thank you for the clarification. Yeah. Okay, so this slide is showing ambulatory care sensitive hospitalization rates for circulatory conditions. We see a similar trend again, that people in very high poverty and high poverty neighborhoods have higher rates. One thing to notice is that there's a large decrease for the low poverty group from 2011 to 2012, where it's kind of remained a little bit more stable or flattened for the other groups. Again, as you've seen through all the other slides, we see the same pattern with very high poverty and high poverty rates being greatest for those for acute conditions by neighborhood level poverty. So this slide is looking at ambulatory care sensitive hospitalization relative rates for very high poverty and low poverty. So it's looking at the difference between the very high poverty rate per 100,000 compared with the low poverty rate. So you could see that for each composite, we see it's nearly two times higher for acute conditions, and it's even greater for other composites. So people living in very high poverty have almost two times higher rates than those living in the low poverty group. And diabetes has the greatest disparity between the very high and low poverty groups, and it ranges from a high of 4.1 times higher and a decrease down to 3.6 times higher. One thing to note that's happening here with the circulatory ratio, it's because even though rates are decreasing for circulatory conditions over time, they're not decreasing at the same rate. So as I showed in the previous slide, for the low poverty group from 2011 to 2012, there's a steep decline, and the very high group just leveled out. So that's why we're seeing that jump, but there still is a disparity between the groups. So we also broke down the ambulatory care sensitive hospitalization relative rates for very high and low poverty groups by sex. As you saw in the previous presentation, there are some differences as well. So for the overall composite, females have a higher disparity. So the disparity between very high and low poverty is greater for females. And we found this for all the other conditions. And it's greatest for diabetes. You can see the difference between females and males in the slide is great, as well as for respiratory. And the rates are more similar, and the disparity smaller for circulatory conditions and acute conditions. So to summarize the results, we see that very high poverty neighborhoods have preventable hospitalization rates nearly twice the rates than lower poverty neighborhoods. And although the rates are decreasing over time, the disparity between the different groups still exists. And the rates are decreasing, but they're not uniform across all composites. So in terms of our limitations, we know that race ethnicity is problematic in hospital discharge databases, so we did not include it in this analysis. However, we do know that there is an association between race and ethnicity and preventable hospitalizations. What I was finding in the previous presentation and other studies have shown that blacks and Hispanics have higher rates of preventable hospitalizations. So that's been out there. The coding of conditions by hospitals may differ and may change over time. So there may be some issues with the completeness and reporting of hospital data. And we also don't know the direction of causality. So living in a high poverty neighborhood may contribute to poor health outcomes and requires hospitalization, or those who have poor health may move to areas with in high poverty neighborhoods. So we don't know what's happening there. So in conclusion, areas with high neighborhood poverty may have poor access to quality medical care. In order to address this, we can increase access and better care coordination. In terms of access, it's not just physical primary care facilities. It could also be about increasing coverage, health insurance coverage, or increasing or having more providers that accept Medicaid or other types of insurance. The differences that we see may be related also to differences in patient engagement and treatment. People in low and high poverty neighborhoods may have episodic care and coverage. We know that there's some issues in terms of Medicaid, continuous Medicaid coverage. There are gaps in enrollment that may be influencing this as well. The decreases that we do see for the very high poverty groups may be related to place-based initiatives in low-income neighborhoods. In New York City, we have district public health offices that are situated in low-income neighborhoods, and we have community health workers that go out and work with different organizations or do different promotion and education pieces. And there has been a lot of focus on chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma in these neighborhoods. So that might be contributing to the decreases that we're seeing for the very high poverty groups. Okay, thank you.